Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Donald Mindiak. He is the CEO of First Commerce Bank, which is a community bank based in Lakewood. Donald, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate being here.
Oh, well, thanks for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it. Banks have been a lot lately, sometimes for not the best reasons, but actually my colleagues and I have been talking a lot about community banks. We met recently with some folks from NJ Bankers, and we talked a lot about the role of community banks and community banking writ large. I'm curious to hear what you think about that, the role of community banks, community banking, and how First Commerce fits in that. I should let our readers know you have offices running from Bergen County all the way down to the shore, so you cover a fairly large part of the state. How do you serve that community, given what you know and given what you believe community banks should be doing?
Well, you know, I've been a community banker all my life. I started at a small bank in my old hometown in Bayonne, New Jersey, helped form a bank in Bayonne as a founder there. And community banks, I think they'll always have a place or they always deserve a place in the economy. You know, we don't need to go back that far in history to see how valuable community banks were when during the pandemic, community banks championed the cause of the PPP or the Paycheck Protection Program. We here at First Commerce, during both phases of PPP, we probably underwrote the better part of close to $200 million in small business loans, probably averaging somewhere around $50,000, $50,000 to $100,000. And, you know, obviously these were times when small businesses were in dire need of assistance.
Right.
So we, again, we tried to help them as much as we possibly could. We were actually getting referrals from the too big to fail banks. They were telling their clients that for a $50,000 or $100,000 loan, that PPP loan, that they should seek their community bank because they're better suited to do what they needed to do to get those funds to them as quickly as possible to help their businesses. So yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that we were there to help all of these businesses and help the communities during some of the more difficult times that we've seen recently, you know, bodes well for the place that community banks have. Also, I mean, just not even going back that far, you know, back to 2008 when the financial crisis happened. You know, for the most part, it wasn't the community banks that were involved in the complex derivatives and the credit default swaps that brought down a number of institutions. For the most part, I think community banks stick with their bread and butter, taking deposits from their community, lending those funds out into the community to help small businesses and builders, conduct their business. And you know, it's what we consider to be a pretty symbiotic relationship.
Okay. All right. Well, you mentioned two of the great upheavals in recent history, the financial crisis and the Great Recession, and then the pandemic. I'm curious as to how the bank is doing these days, and what you're hearing from your customers, your clients, about how they're doing. How have you gotten through the pandemic, and how are your clients doing at this point?
Well, through the COVID pandemic, you know, it was a difficult time, but I think interest rates were at zero for pretty much the entire time. So from a cost perspective, an interest expense perspective, there wasn't a lot of interest expense going on because deposits were almost free money.
Right.
Also, you know, there were a number of government programs which were, you know, passing out a decent amount of money. A lot of that was banked. So what we've seen recently, though, because of the of persistent inflation, is we've seen the Fed, starting last year, started on their mission to get inflation under control by systematically increasing interest rates over through 2022 and now into 2023.
Right.
So obviously their goal is to get inflation down to their target rate of 2%, which starting at, I'm going to say, I think the high was probably north of 9.
Right.
It's a bit of a tall order. And the Fed has to walk a tightrope. You know, the Fed has to try and reduce rates slow enough to so it doesn't cause a recession, but quick enough to get inflation under control.
Right.
I don't envy Chairman Powell in the position that he's in,
right,
because you know they're trying to get to their definition of a soft landing. And all of the rate increases that they've done so far have worked to a degree because the economy has slowed down. I mean, we see it here in the amount of loan applications have slowed down. Last year at this time, because rates were continuing to go up, we kind of saw a rush to the closing table because borrowers didn't want to have their commitments expire and then have to be faced with the prospect of a higher interest rate with a new loan commitment. Okay. So we saw a significant activity in the loan area last year. But again, because interest rates are now a little bit higher, we have seen that activity slow down. So to that end, I think the Fed's increasing rates slowly has helped slow down the economy.
Okay. But it's a familiar refrain. I've heard that before, and I wanted to drill down a little bit on some of that in more detail. But first, I'm curious as to whether you have an overall sense of how, if at all, businesses' calculations have changed now that interest rates are going up and there is a potential for an economic slowdown at some point, depending on, we don't know how deep it might be. Are you hearing from customers and from the bank's perspective, from your own perspective? As a businessman, what are you hearing about how folks are responding to what the Fed is doing and how the economy is where the economy is heading?
Well, again, we hear from our clients that their businesses are slowing down, and again, it's because of the direction of where interest rates are going. Mm-hmm. We're hoping, and General Powell continues to say that their decisions are going to be data driven, and you know we're hoping that is going to continue. They keep on, and the Fed can't. So again, the Fed has to be careful because they can't ignore external factors that are occurring. Right. For example, you know what recently happened over the last several weeks. With regard to several of the large regional banks, Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank. Right. I mean, they had, you know, there's more, I think, of a crisis of confidence than there is about, and there are liquidity issues that happened at both those banks. So I think what we're going to be seeing regulatorily, banks are going to be seeing, is I think we're going to be seeing our regulators, the FDIC, and for us in New Jersey, the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance, I think we're going to see them pay a little bit more attention to a couple of things. Number one is uninsured deposits. Okay. Banks, Silicon Valley Bank had close to 94% of their deposits were uninsured deposits or under the $250,000 insurance threshold. So that begs the question, is it time for an increase in the insurance limit? If you take a look at the history of the insurance limit, in a 14-year span between 1966 and 1980, insurance limits were increased by tenfold from okay. $10,000 in 1966 to $100,000 in 1980.
Right.
Since 1980, right. The only other increase was in 2008 as a result of the financial crisis, up to $250,000. So, you know, is it time for that to be reconsidered by Congress and the FDIC? You know, I'll leave they're better judges of that.
Oh,
than
come on!
I
was going to ask you. I was going to ask you what you thought.
Okay. Since you've asked, do I think that there should be an increase? Yes. I do think there should be an increase. Okay. Yeah, like I said, between 66 and 1980, it was increased four times and tenfold from 10,000 to 100,000.
Okay.
The last increase was 08. So there's been a 15-year gap since the last increase. And I think, you know, there was recently some testimony by some administration officials regarding the possible backstopping of the too big to fail banks.
Right.
And because of that, we were hearing from our customers, should I withdraw my money from your bank and deposit it in the too big to fail banks because the government's going to backstop them.
Right.
And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to convince them that for the most part, we're a very well-capitalized bank. We don't have any one relationship that's so large that it would deplete our liquidity. So we've tried to instill some prudent risk management practices that would prevent the things that happened at the too big to fail banks that could happen here. So, you know, it's a lot of it is a matter of prudent risk management policies and practices. And again, you know, with respect to SVB, one of the things they didn't have was they didn't have a chief risk officer for the last 8 months of their existence. And a bank that has $210 billion in assets to not have a chief risk officer, you know, you want to, you know, kind of question as to what was behind that decision.
Right. Right. Yes. And I think that most of the folks who are looking at this are making that distinction and are pointing out to the very factors that you're talking about and the fact that those things aren't really part of what you folks do. Am I right about that?
That you're correct. I mean, we try and rely on our bread and butter. You know, we take in deposits from the community. We lend out that money to the community, to developers, to small businesses, so that their businesses can thrive and our businesses can thrive. We're a pretty big proponent of doing business with the people who do business with us and supporting our local communities. Just as an example, today's March 29th is Jersey Mike's annual day of giving. Like we participated last year when they I believe all of the donations were made to Special Olympics last year.
Okay.
This year they've decided that they're going to do it to local charities. So of course, as a local community, we want to be a part of that. So again, we're a proud participant with Jersey Mike's. We're having lunch for all of our employees, on the company so that we can help our local charities and help Jersey Mike help our local charities. It's
okay.
Again, I said before, it's a symbiotic relationship that I think works well and plays well within our communities.
Okay, but very good. That's very good. Good stuff. I'm curious if you're seeing what you're seeing on specific industries. I mean, you operate down the shore. We heard a lot about, for example, restaurants, bars, hotels. The tourism industry was really impacted horribly by the pandemic. But the residential real estate market went through the roof. Are you hearing from your folks, and are you seeing some sectors recovering more quickly than others, and are some still struggling a little bit at this point?
We're pretty fortunate in the respect that we're headquartered in Lakewood. Lakewood, New Jersey, between the decade of 2010 and 2020, was the fastest growing community within the state of New Jersey, and by a long
margin. It's pretty close, isn't it? I mean, it's still doing that, right?
It is, yes. As you know, Lakewood has a sizable Orthodox Jewish community, right. And the community continues to grow. From a Lakewood perspective, the amount of buildable land in Lakewood has gone down considerably because of the growth that's happened in the Lakewood community.
Sure.
As a result of that, we're seeing an outreach to the surrounding communities, Howell, Jackson, Tom's River. The Orthodox community is now moving out to those areas. And right. To that end, we're actually opening up a new office in Jackson that's not within, I would say, maybe 4 miles from our main office here in Lakewood. But because of the infrastructure and the traffic, it's difficult for those people to make it to our office.
Okay.
So that's why we've decided to open up another office in close proximity to this one. But again, to help serve the communities in and around our Lakewood headquarters. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, one thing I've been hearing a lot is caution from businesses in a lot of different directions. Caution about the expansion in the face of an economic downturn, but also caution about cutting back too quickly or even at all in terms of hiring because of how difficult it was to staff back up again once the pandemic was over and folks wanted to start needed to come back to work. Again. What are you hearing? Is there that kind of caution in the areas that you're working in?
That caution is well founded. I mean, I can tell you that we specifically know that our net interest margin is going to become impacted because interest rates went up and interest expense is going to go up on the amount of deposits that we have. So we have to manage our non-interest expense very carefully. We're no different. The businesses around are no different than us. They continue to tell us that they're also going to manage. They have to manage their businesses a little bit more closely, given where interest rates are going. So it's not an isolated incident within community banking. It's something that we're seeing all over. That businesses are being a little bit more cautious, and you know, they want to see how much more interest rates are going to go up before the Fed decides to take a pause. And then, you know, hopefully if there is a pause and then interest rates start coming down a little bit, we might see, you know, a little bit loosening of their caution.
Okay. Now you mentioned opening an office in Jackson, which suggests that you're growing. The bank itself is growing. I'm curious. Number one, do you expect that to continue? And number two, where do you see growth coming from? What either from certain sectors or certain geographic areas? What are you looking for in that regard over the next, you know, 6 to 8 months? Say.
Well, six to eight months is, you know, a little bit of a short term. We're not really sure. Okay. You know, there's been speculation.
Go longer term, if you'd like to, that's fine too.
Sure. Longer term, I mean, for us specifically, and you had mentioned this a little bit earlier, Jeff. I mean, we have offices in the northern section of the state, and we have offices kind of in the south central section of the state. Right. But we have a bit of a hole in our footprint between Freehold and Fairfield. Okay. So for us, the Middlesex County area is a very attractive area for us that we're looking to de novo offices in that area and close that footprint a little bit so that our service area is much more continuous as opposed to a bit of a gap in our footprint. So that's where we're looking for growth in that area right now. You know, community banking unfortunately has suffered from a good deal of consolidation recently. You know, we've seen a couple of transactions happen last year. Lakeland Provident,
right?
Brunswick Bank and Trust was acquired by a bank out of Pennsylvania. So we continue to see some level of consolidation. I'm hoping that I think it's going to slow down because multiples within the industry, because interest rates have gone up, have come down a little bit. So now probably isn't the time for an institution to sell because I don't know if they would get as high of a multiple on their tangible book value as they would want. So that probably will have an effect on putting a damper on some M&A activity within the industry. And hopefully banks will take an opportunity to open up a couple of more brick and mortar offices so that they can avail themselves to areas that might be less banked or some areas that might be unbanked.
Well, you anticipated where I was going, which was about consolidation. You say you have a hole in your footprint. How is that coming? Would that growth come organically, or are you looking to be an acquirer to participate in that? If multiples are down, yes, that you could. It might be affordable. It might be something that's doable for a bank your size. What do you think about that dynamic, and how are you going to proceed going forward?
So certainly we have a responsibility to our shareholders to explore all options that would have the opportunity to increase both franchise and shareholder value. So, we're always on the lookout to do those things, whether that happens through organic growth and de novo offices. Lord knows there have been a number of banks that have closed offices, and there are a number of empty bank offices around the state.
Okay. Right.
So, we can certainly target them as an area of growth that we would want to entertain. And again, you know, if the opportunity presents itself regarding merger and acquisition activity, then certainly we would listen, knowing that, again, that we have a fiduciary responsibility to try to increase franchise and shareholder value and maximize that to the greatest degree possible without taking undue levels of risk that might come into play.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're being cautious too, and that leads to the last question I wanted to ask you, and that is about how you view the next 12 months or so. You're interested in pursuing growth. You think the economy is going to be in a position or be fertile enough for you to do that now over, say, the next 12 months? Or are you going to pull back? Are you going to wait and see what happens?
I can't say that we're not being cautious. I think we're being prudently cautious at this point in time. I think, and you never want to mix politics in, but we do know that next year is a presidential election year. I think what the Fed is going to try to do is the Fed's going to try to have if there's going to be any pain, that pain economically happens this year. So that come next year when the primaries start, The Fed will be in a position to either take a pause or start loosening credit a little bit and reducing short-term interest rates, which should help the economy. Okay. It's a lot would be predicated upon how successful they are in achieving the soft landing that they're looking for. And given that, you know, again, we're somewhat prudently cautious at this point in time. But if we see an opportunity that we believe has the potential to increase franchise and shareholder value, then we're fortunate in the respect that we're a very well capitalized institution at this point in time, and we can help use that capital to help grow our products and services to those areas of the state that we either find underserved or we know that that there's a need for our services.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch, and I hope you'll come back at some point and let us know how things are going and give us an update on your plans and what looks like from your perspective.
No, you know, I greatly appreciate the opportunity for an update at some point in time. And again, appreciate this opportunity to speak with you, Jeff.
Great. Thank you. Donald Mindiak, CEO of First Commerce Bank in Lakewood. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you being so generous with your time.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.